Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this station, David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number to call is 254-629-2622. That's 254-629-2622. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And with me tonight, filling in for David, is Terry Jackson, who preaches for the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star. And we're delighted to have you in our audience this evening. And remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 254-654-3251. That's 254-654-3251. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. Remember also that we have several sponsors who are sponsoring us on this radio program. Of course, the Church of Christ in Hamilton, and also the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, along with the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood. Now, we have been over the last several weeks talking about various topics, but today we want to change course just a little bit, and we're going to talk about those who disrespect the authority of God. We're living in a day when there are a lot of people who do not really respect God's authority, and really they don't know a whole lot about what God's authority is. And a lot of people today are just simply going through their religious views and doing their religious things based solely on really what they want to do. But when we talk about the Bible, we're not talking about the words of men are, but we're talking about what the Word of God is. The Word of God, the Bible is the Word of the living God. As a matter of fact, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we have this passage that says, for this cause we thank God without ceasing that when he received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, ye accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. Now, God certainly desires that we read his word. And all wise people know the great value of studying the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to doctrine, to exhortation. And we need to realize the value of studying the Word of God to try to understand the authority of God. Now, Terry, the Holy Spirit instructs us concerning the understanding God's Word, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Back in Ephesians 5:17, it tells us there, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, it's amazing to me, this passage is so clear, but it tells us exactly that the Lord's will can be understood.
Yeah.
It's not something that is unattainable. A lot of people think that God's will be something unattainable. But it is not.
You know, God wouldn't tell us to do something we were unable to do, right?
Exactly. That's right.
So we've got to realize that we've got to attain this knowledge. And Terry, how are we going to attain that knowledge?
It's got to be through the Word of God.
Exactly. And so we just lay God's Bible on top of our head and it's going to soak right in, right?
It doesn't usually work that way.
We're going to have to study,
right?
Study. Exactly. You know, as we study the Bible, it's obvious that it has to be interpreted. Each Christian has an obligation to study, to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. But just how do we know what we can do, Terry, in our service to God?
Well, one of the things that we have to do, I think a big part of the problem in our world today is people want to assume. They want to assume that God, what God allows or what God disallows.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is go to the Bible.
Exactly.
The Bible will tell us what we need to do or what we shouldn't do, what we're forbidden to do.
Uh-huh.
And so, therefore, God has given us everything we need to know for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. And that's the big, we can't assume anything. We can't assume God's will. That is asinine. So we have to understand that God's will is revealed to us through the Bible.
Exactly. And so we go to God's Word to understand what our service to God is to be, what things we must do, and what things we are forbidden to do. Now, if we do not know how to prove Bible authority and answer those questions, well, then we are going to not be able to carry out our responsibility before God. Now, remember,
sure,
this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to call in because we're going to be talking today about the authority of God, the authority of the Bible, and how that relates to the things we do religiously. And the number to call is 254-654-3251. That's 254-654-3251. And also, I want to remind you that you can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions@harrisonmoore.org. And so, Terry, the Bible authority then is really, isn't it, a very important topic that we need to be involved in.
I think it's as important now as it ever has been, especially in the last 200 years.
Yes.
You know, for so long it was just understood. Now it's been questioned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, have you ever been asked, Tom, well, I don't really care what the Bible says. What do you think?
Yeah.
At a certain time.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, in my estimation, the conversation is over because it doesn't matter what I think.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of people may not say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, but they begin their conversation with, I think.
Exactly.
And when it comes to what we're going to be doing religiously, how to be saved, how we're to worship God, how we're to pray, how do we treat our families, it doesn't really matter what you and I think, does it, Terry?
Nope, it
what
doesn't
matters is what the Bible says. Now, when we talk about Bible authority, the authority of God, authority means power, right, sanction, or justification for doing something. If we say we have religious authority, then we are talking about what we have the right or the authority to do in religious matters. If we say Bible authority, then we're talking about what the Bible authorizes or gives us the right to do. When we talk about Bible authority, then, we are pointing to the Bible as a standard that sanctions and authorizes actions that men are to take in serving God. You know, we're going to have to do what pleases God in all this, aren't we?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And if we're not going to do what pleases God, then, we're not going to be right in the sight of God.
Yep.
Now, there is definitely a need to discuss Bible authority, isn't there?
There is. I think, you know, one of the things that happens, people seem to get lost in this interpretation. You know, we have no problem whenever we pick up a novel, mm-hmm, interpreting that novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science. When you read Shakespeare, it's not that difficult, except I have a hard time following that language. But but when you open the Bible, it's very easy to interpret.
Right.
And you know, it's not, they've tried to come up with different ways and new ways of interpreting the Bible, which none of it is sense. None of it makes sense.
You know, there's definitely a need to discuss Bible authority because today we have many misunderstandings about religious authority in general. In present times, even some so-called Christians are saying that the New Testament is not really a pattern for us. But the Bible does tell us, doesn't it, Terry, that it is our pattern.
Yes, it does.
You know, and others say that if the Bible does not specifically say that some action is wrong, then it is authorized.
Yes. That's a problem there.
It is. You know, and I got to thinking about this today, Terry, concerning what we understand to be called the law of exclusion. Now, that's a big phrase, and a lot of people say, well, what in the world are you talking about, the law of exclusion? But you know, Terry, this is something that we use every day in our lives, the law of exclusions. For example, if you were to go to a restaurant, Terry, and you were to order a chicken fried steak, French fries, and a sweet tea, what would you expect to get?
Chicken fried steak, French fries, and a sweet tea.
All right. So Terry orders this, chicken fried steak, French fries, and sweet tea, and they bring him out chicken fried steak, French fries, and sweet tea, but also a hamburger and ribs and a baked potato and a salad and a Dr. Pepper and some pecan pie. Well, Terry says, wait a minute, I didn't order all that. Well, what if the waitress will say, well, you didn't say not to?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you see, when Terry ordered chicken fried steak, French fries, and sweet tea, that automatically eliminated everything else on that menu, didn't it, Terry?
It sure did. And no difference whenever you look at what Noah did when he built the ark. God
exactly.
Specified a certain type of wood, the gopher wood.
Mm-hmm.
That eliminated pine, it eliminated sycamore, it eliminated pecan, it eliminated every other kind of wood out there. And it was, he said, okay, this is the way you want to build it. Would that ark have floated, had he decided, you know, we've got a lot more pine trees out here. I'm going to build this thing out of pine.
I don't think it would work that way, would it?
Nope.
You know, when it comes to the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
The Lord says that we are to have fruit of the vine and unleavened bread on the Lord's Supper. Well, he didn't say I couldn't. You know, it might be pretty nice to have burrito and hot coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of fill up and get a little energized with the coffee and everything. And people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, you know, we use that argument for other things, you know, and so we got to realize when God specifies something, it automatically eliminates all else. Could you imagine, Terry, how large the Bible would be if he not only had to tell you what he wanted, but everything he did not want?
Well, you know, common sense should tell us, Tom, that if God specifies something, that's what he wants.
Exactly.
It eliminates the things that he doesn't want us to do. So it ought to be very specific that this is okay if I... You want the bread and the fruit of the vine? That's it. No
exactly.
Peanut butter on the bread, just plain bread.
Exactly.
And the fruit of the vine.
You know, so, you know, when others say that the Bible says it's all right to do something if it's not specifically say that you can't, is really a poor argument.
It is.
You know, you even think about when you go to a restaurant and there's a restroom there, and on the one side it says men, on the other side it says women. Well, what if you walked in, a man walked into the women's restroom, he comes out with his face slapped, and you say, what's the problem with you? Why'd you go in the women's restroom? What if he said, well, it didn't say not men.
Yep.
No, we know what this law of exclusion is. We use it every day. And so when it says women, that automatically excludes men. And when God tells us how to specifically do something or what to specifically do, that automatically eliminates everything else.
Now, Tom, why do we use it in every facet of our life except when we're reading the Bible?
I don't know. I guess people just don't want to.
That's got to be it.
Now, it would be fair to say that many persons have never really asked themselves if their actions in religious affairs are authorized by the Bible or not. You know, I bet you there are a lot of people out there, Terry, who are doing various things and has never occurred to them to ask themselves, does the Bible authorize this?
That's right.
And it gets us in big trouble. It gets the world in big trouble when they have that kind of mentality. We have an email that came in, Terry, comes in from Paula, and it says, Noah could have built the ark out of other wood, but was he willing to risk his life to do it his way?
That's right.
And that's a good point. You know, if you want to be saved by God, then how ought you to do it?
And you know, the answer is right there in that context. Yeah. Noah found favor in the sight of God. Why? God knew he would carry out his commands God's way, not Noah's way. Noah understood. If he built that ark out of any other kind of wood, he was disobeying God.
Exactly. So remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 254-654-3251, or you can email us a question like Paula did at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, Terry, we must be careful that we do not try also to force others to do things that God does not require. You know, at the same time, we must not lose where God has not loosed. If God says a certain action is required, then we have no right to say that it's not required,
right,
do we?
That's exactly right. You know, whenever one of my favorite verses when we talk about this is one sometimes for years I kind of overlook. But in Matthew 16, when Jesus talking about, I will build my church,
mm-hmm,
he told Peter, he said, what you bind on earth, you know, is bound in heaven. Well, what that verse actually means is what you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven.
Exactly.
What you loose on earth has already been loose in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
All Peter was doing was revealing heaven's will on the earth.
Exactly. You know, when we think about this idea of not loosing where God is loose and not binding where he is not bound, we need to also realize that the Bible is very clear that we are not to add to or take away from the Word of God. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandment of Jehovah your God, which I command you. And so here, there in Deuteronomy, he tells us that we are not to add to nor take away from the Word of God. But you'll also notice in another passage, in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 6, these words, add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so there we have in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, a warning not to add to or take away from the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, we have another warning not to add to or take away from the Word of God. And then notice, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which were written in this book. So Terry, there we have a warning in the beginning of the Bible, a warning in the middle of the Bible, and a warning at the end of the Bible not to add to or take away from the Word of God. So therefore, we must diligently study the Bible and strive to make our thinking in harmony with God's will.
Exactly. It's like the whole definition of authority talks about the power, right, sanction, or justification for doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always looking for justification to do something. The greatest justification on this earth comes from the Word of God.
Exactly.
And when we're talking about religious matters or biblical authority, that justification for what we do has to come from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. You know, one clear basic difference between the Lord's church and, I guess, the denominational world is the difference in our outlook and our approach to Bible authority. And Terry, all our religious activities and teaching has to be authorized, does it not?
Exactly.
What does Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 teaches?
That's exactly right. Do all things in the name of the Lord.
That's right. And so do all things in his name or by his authority. Mm-hmm. Whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in his name or by the authority of Christ. And so everything we do, we have to have authority for. And again, you know, I think there are a lot of people in the world today who just don't stop and ask themselves, do I really have authority for what I'm doing?
That's right.
Well, there are a lot of people, Terry, who are disrespecting the Word of God. And as we begin this study, it would be good for us to define the word disrespect. Well, what does disrespect mean, Terry?
It's a lack of respect or reverence. It's a discourtesy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of giving, you know, respect would be an act of giving particular attention and consideration to hold in high regard or to give particular detail to
So we've got respect and disrespect,
exactly,
right? And so we're supposed to have respect for the Word of God, but then there are a lot of people, I guess, that are really showing disrespect to the Word of God by the way they're acting toward it, or by their lack of going to God's Word and trying to establish their authority for doing a thing.
And Tom, the thing that bothers me in this, they may be honest people, mm-hmm, to an extent where they may be sincere in what they're doing, but they're sincerely wrong.
Exactly.
And you know, it's a matter of we've got to know and understand the authority of the Bible, and not disrespect the that very authority that we've been talking about.
Exactly. So anyone who does not respect the authority of God and His Word are showing a lack of reverence. They're showing a lack of consideration and courtesy, and they show little regard for the details of the law. Friends, disrespect for God's authority, it's growing like wildfire in our world, and many will burn in eternal torment as a result of this. And so we've got to realize then the importance of Bible authority and not disrespecting God or disrespecting the Bible. Well, Terry, we also learn something about subjective and objective standards, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And when we think about a subjective standard is one that is based upon one's own feelings or opinion. Now, I know you've heard that kind of mentality, right?
All the time.
Yeah. I just kind of feel in my heart that this is the right thing to do, right?
Exactly.
You know, and this really means that one does what he or she feels is right. And, beloved, this is disrespect for the word, for the God's authority. Just to do something, well, you know, I just feel in my heart that that's the right thing to do.
You know, where else does that work on this? You know, if you work for an employee or employer, Can we go on that kind of mentality whenever he tells us, like, we need to get these forms out, need to fill out these forms? Can you just say, well, I don't know, I feel like I want to do it this way, or, mm-hmm, you know, I don't want to do the three copies, let me just do two. It will work nowhere else in life, and yet we think it will work. That same kind of mentality will work when we're studying the Word of God.
Exactly. I can understand people. And so when we think about this idea of a subjective standard, that is something that is based upon how we feel. But on the other hand, an objective standard, and that's the kind of mentality we ought to have, an objective standard is one that is set or fixed as right and unchangeable without regard to one's feelings or opinions. This, Terry, shows respect for the Word of God.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that bothers me, of course, I've been doing this a long time. I've been preaching for close to 40 years now.
And you're old.
I'm old. In fact, I'm feeling it too. But it's amazing what I've seen in religion, the changes from 1975 when I first started preaching to today. What's happening is people are coming up with this subjective type standard in their religion. So, therefore, it's like as culture changes, so does the standard. And now we're looking at the religious standards of the day, and it's changed culturally. Mm-hmm. It's changed religiously, and it will unless we have an eternal standard, which we do.
Exactly, in the Bible, right?
In the Bible, that's it.
Well, what mankind needs then is a guide in religious affairs, one that is objective. The one that God gave us, the Bible. You know, the psalmist said in long ago, in Psalm 105, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105 of that same chapter, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it says there, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. And then in that same chapter, verse 172, for all thy commandments
our righteousness. You know, Terry, that's why David said in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law.
That's right.
It is my meditation all the way."
Wouldn't it be great, Terry, if the whole world had this kind of respect for the authority of God as the psalmist did?
It's a crying shame that it's not that way. And I don't you know it breaks God's heart that it's not that way, because that's the way it was intended from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden.
Exactly. From the very beginning of time, God has always set forth his standard.
Right.
And I guess Adam and Eve decided to change that standard. They had a subjective idea there, didn't they, in the Garden of Eden? God told them to that every tree of the garden they could freely eat, but there was one in the midst of the garden they were not to eat thereof. But what did they do?
They ate of that tree.
And they were doing their own will, weren't
they? That's
right. As a result. And so, you know, do we not all realize that we must all have a certain objective standards in our daily affairs of life? You know, and Terry kind of alluded to this a while ago. You know, when we buy vegetables at the market, there is a set standard of weight that is to be used, right?
That's right.
There is a pound. And a pound is how many ounces? Pop question. 16 ounces, right? 16 ounces to a pound, right?
Sounds good to me.
And so when we go into a market and we buy a pound of vegetables, we expect to get 16
That's
ounces.
Right.
Now, what if a person says, well, let's make this objective, and I want to make a pound 10 ounces. Well, we're going to cause all kind of chaos when we have that kind of mentality, aren't we? Or what if a lady goes into a place, I don't know what you call them, but they go in and buy cloth to make a dress, and they decide that a yard is going to be a different standard at this store than another than their pattern. Well, if they bought thinking a yard was going to, how much is a yard in feet?
Three, isn't it?
three feet to a yard, right? And so she wants to buy a yard of material because the pattern says that's what you need, 1 yard, 3 feet. Well, they think over here at the store that really yard's 2 feet. She comes home and she don't have the material because there is not an objective standard. There's going to be all chaos.
It's going to be a funny looking dress.
Exactly. And you know, religiously speaking, well, if we don't have an objective standard in religion, there's going to be all kinds of chaos that occurs as well, isn't there?
And there is.
And yeah, we see it going on,
we sure
don't
do.
We? Because people say, well, I just like, when you ask sometimes people, why are you doing this thing religiously, they'll say things like, well, I just like it better that way.
Yeah.
Or that's the way mom and dad have always done it. Or, well, I don't know, I like it that way because, you know, our preacher's good looking and we just do it the way he wants to do it, right?
That's right, that's that subjective standard.
Exactly, and so we've got to get back to God's objective standard if we want to really be right and pleasing in the sight of God. Now, there are a lot of different standards in the world today, I hate to say.
Unfortunately, you're right.
Now, is there religious division or religious confusion in our world today?
There is a lot. What was it? I heard the statistics here recently that there's over, 3,000 different religious beliefs?
I believe you're right.
Now, can you imagine? We've got one Bible. And in that one Bible, people have interpreted over 3,000 different ways. Is there a problem here?
Something's wrong.
Something is bad wrong.
Now, if you got one Bible and one truth, shouldn't you have one religion?
Exactly.
And yet you got, you know, now, let's just say, for example, Terry, if I say that 2 plus 2 is 5, and you say 2 plus 2 is 4, can we both be right?
Nope.
Now, if I were to say 2 plus 2 is 5 and you were to say 2 plus 2 is 6, could we both be wrong?
Hey, we sure can.
So the idea here is if we contradict one another, both people cannot be right. Somebody's wrong or both of them are wrong. God's word is an objective standard. There is only one right way, and if we contradict or if we do something different from God's word, then we're wrong.
That's right.
And if we're contradicting another people, somebody's wrong here.
And, you know, what's disheartening is to think that we're in violation of the very prayer of Jesus. In John,
exactly.
You know, in John 17, when Jesus was praying, he said, pray that they will be one as we are, Father, thou art me, and I am thee, that they may be one also. Are we one, Tom?
We're supposed to be.
We're supposed to be, but we're a long way from it. I've already said 3,000 different beliefs.
Exactly. People may say, well, how in the world can we possibly be one? Well, let's get back to the one Bible.
That's right. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 14:33.
Mm-hmm.
God is not the author of confusion.
Exactly.
And there's no doubt in my mind and anybody else's mind, if you look around the religious world today, there is a lot of religious confusion.
Exactly.
God didn't offer that.
He did not. Well, Terry, it's about time for a break, and so we're going to take a couple of minute break here. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expeditions of the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And with me tonight is Terry Jackson, who preaches for the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. We want to you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you will call us at 254-654-3251, we would love to entertain your comment or your question. And you can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, we are discussing those who disrespect the authority of God. And we need to realize that there are a lot of people today who are abiding by other authorities, and a lot of people don't even think about the need to question or to ask themselves, do I have the authority for what I'm doing religiously? And we talked a little bit about the law of exclusion, because there are a lot of people out there in the world today who say that if the Bible does not specifically say that an action is wrong, then it is authorized. Well, when we're thinking about that, you know, Terry, the Bible does not specifically say that it is wrong to snort cocaine.
Oh, it does not.
It does not specifically say that. And so that argument in and of itself, you can see how ridiculous that is. And we talked about how that when God specifically states something is wrong or specifically states what he wants, how that automatically eliminates everything else, and how large the Bible would be if he had to specifically state every single thing that he did not want. And we talked about subjective standards and objective standards and how that the Bible is not a subjective standard based upon how one feels. I just feel in my heart that that's what the Bible says, or I just feel in my heart that that's the way I ought to do it. The Bible, rather, is an objective standard, just like 1 yard is 3 feet, you know, and we realize that 1 pound is 16 ounces. That is an objective standard. Well, God's Word is an objective standard. Well, you know, Terry, because there are so many different standards in the world that people are going by, we find ourselves today in religious confusion. And you mentioned how a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion. But also, Terry, doesn't the Bible talk about the kind of unity that we're supposed to have?
It does. Pardon me. One of the things that we read, you know, we talk about Jesus' prayer and how that we violate that prayer with the religious division. Well, Paul talked about it at the Church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10.
Exactly.
They were a divisive congregation. They were divided on doctrinal issues. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 10, if you don't mind, I'm going to read that, Tom. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, Tom, here's my question. Paul says they speak the same thing and be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How is that going to happen when you have about 200 or 250 different people?
You can't do it. The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you have an objective standard.
That's exactly right.
And that's what the Bible is. And Paul realized that would the Bible, God, the Apostle Paul, tell us to be of the same mind and the same judgment if it were not possible?
No. God's supposed to be all-knowing. He knows it's possible.
That's right. And it's possible if we will abide strictly by God's Word and use that as our objective standard. Another passage kind of in connection with 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 is James chapter 1, verses 14-16. James chapter 4. Verses 14-16, it says, But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. He says, this wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. He's telling us here, James is, that when we have this faction, when we have this bitterness, when we have this confusion, and when we have this religious division, he says those things come from, not from above, but from the world. And you know, whenever we aren't abiding by God's Word, we're going to have that confusion. The psalmist said in Psalm 133, verse 1, how beautiful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so we've got to get back to the Word of God as our final authority, that objective standard in helping us do this.
Do you think, Tom, in Ephesians 4, it talks about unity of the faith.
Uh-huh.
Is there any way that can be attained? The one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that whole list of seven details. For example, one baptism. Can that be attained if you and I are thinking, okay, this is the way I want to do it? You've got your idea, I have my idea. We're all right, are we?
No, we're not, because you're doing it different ways, aren't you?
That's right.
One baptism means one. That doesn't mean your view and my view. It means one. One Lord means one. It doesn't mean your view and my view. It's one view. God's objective standard. He tells us what the one Lord is.
Exactly.
He tells us what the one baptism is. He tells us what the one faith is. And so, again, we get back to what?
The unity.
The unity
that comes from the Word of God.
I grant that objective standard. Now, remember, again, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 254-654-3251. Well, Terry, what if all men followed the same objective standard of authority in religion? What if all men had respect for Bible authority, what would happen?
There would not be 3,000 different religious beliefs in the world today. There would be one.
Yeah, there would be no more division.
No more division.
There would be that the beautiful unity that
That's
Jesus
right.
prayed about.
Exactly.
And so we've got to get back to the Bible as our sole authority and get away from that mentality, well, I like it that way, or that's the way we've always done it, or I don't see anything wrong with it, or just come to the point where you begin to question yourselves. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says that we are to examine ourselves, right?
Right.
Whether we be in the faith, prove your own selves, except you be reprobate. And so we've got to look at our lives, Terry, and say, am I doing religiously what is authorized by the Word of God? And there's really only one safe, objective standard of authority that exists in our world today.
That's right.
And what is it?
That's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Can I read 2 Timothy 3:16-17?
Do it.
In fact, I'm going to back up to verse 15.
All right.
That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, notice, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now notice what the Scriptures are good for. First of all, it says make you wise unto salvation. If I want to know, Tom, what I need to do to be saved, where do you need to tell me your own ideas or opinions of where I need to go?
No, we need to go to the Bible, don't we?
That's what he's saying.
And then when you look around the world, you know, you got one religious group that says, well, you're saved this way. You got another religious group that says, no, you're saved this way. Another religious group says, no, you're saved this way. Who are we to believe?
That's right.
So where are we going to go to find out really what we need to do to be saved?
You've got to go to the Word, the objective standard.
Exactly. When it comes to worshiping God, one group says it's all right to do it this way. Another group says it's all right to do it that way. Another group says it's all right to do it this way. And yet each one of those contradict one another. Where are we going to go, Terry, to find out how we are to worship God correctly?
Well, in this passage just read, the Bible, the all Scripture is profitable for doctrine.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of a general scope of doctrine, but if you want to know how to worship, that's doctrine. Where do you go?
Go to the Bible.
You go to the Bible. If you want to know about salvation, as we already said, you go to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The area of morals or ethics, where do you go? You go to the Bible.
Exactly. You know, and I'm reminded also of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse
that's
3,
right.
Where we have been given how much?
All things.
All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so we've got to get back to the Bible as our sole guide in religious matters. Shortly before the Lord was crucified, He had an important discussion about authority with the Jewish leaders of His day. When Jesus was teaching in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, some Jewish leaders came to Him and asked, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Jesus replied that He would answer their question if they would first answer a question of His. He says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Well, they refused to answer the question, thereby ending the discussion. But you know, Terry, the questions the Jews ask, by what authority dost thou these things, is really a good one.
Yes.
If it's asked by the proper motive. And should that not also be a question we're asking today?
Exactly. I think, you know, and that's one of the things that, what were they going to say? If they say it's from heaven, baptism from heaven, then why did they not respond to John?
Mm-hmm.
If it's from man, well, that's going to make folks upset at them, and then that's going to kind of look like John, because they recognize John as a prophet.
Exactly.
So, you know, the thing of it is, there's that objective standard. Where is it from, heaven or men? And that's the question we ask today. What we do in worship, what we do in life, what we do for salvation, is it from God or is it from man?
Exactly. And so we see here when Jesus said, is the baptism of John from heaven or men? What does Jesus' question show? Well, it shows that in matters of religion or service to God, there are only two types of authority. What are they, Terry?
It'd be from God or man.
Exactly. Exactly. So if they're from heaven, they're from God, right? And if they're from man, they're man-made. Thus, there is man's way, and there is God's way. In reality, Terry, there is only those two ways.
That's it.
Seems like Jesus said something about that in John, Matthew chapter 7, didn't he? In verses 13 to 14 about the two ways.
Yes, he did.
Pop that up there and read us there for us in a moment there, Terry. But we see that there is man's way and there is God's way. And we're going to see a moment from a passage that Terry is going to read to us. There is a broad way and there is a narrow way. You got that passage there for us? Read for us.
Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
So, there is a broad way that leads where?
Destruction.
And a narrow way that leads to life. There's two ways. The narrow way is God's way. The broad way is God's way, is man's way.
That's right.
And so if we want to go to heaven, then we're going to have to follow God's way.
And notice the truth that's presented here is that the majority, the broad, the most folks is going to go the man-made way.
Exactly.
And that's heartbreaking.
Why do you think that is?
That people want to do things their way. They want to do it by their own authority, by their own standards.
You know, have you ever gone hiking? You'll notice that the trails that are the broad ones, broad, and those are the easier trails, right?
Yeah.
You know, level, not so many rocks. And a lot of people go that way, but, you know, those other trails that are narrow are most of the time more difficult and harder. But I found out from hiking around, when you travel those narrow trails, you get some of the best views forever. And you know the narrow way that leads to heaven is going to have the best view.
That's right.
That's God's way. You know, using man as religious authority is showing disrespect for the authority of God. Every religious practice, every religious teaching belongs to one of two categories. Either it comes from and is authorized by God, or it came from men and thus is not from God. This, Terry, is a serious matter. By what authority do we teach and practice what we do? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves, isn't it?
That's right.
Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-654-3251, or you can email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. From heaven or of men? That was the question that Jesus asked the Jewish leaders about the baptism of John. His question shows that there are really only two types of authority in religious matters, divine and human. In our time, many reject the standard that the Lord has given us and choose to follow their own way, showing, well, disrespect for the Almighty. What I want us to do now, Terry, is how about if we look at a few ideologies that show the disrespect that some people have for God's authority, for God's word. What's one of those ways that people disrespect God's way?
Well, one of them would be, well, they think, some man will think that he has a better way. It's hard to say this, but maybe they think.
They don't think this. They disagree with God's authority and simply just do what they want to.
Exactly.
You know, a few months ago, we had a young lady call in, and we were discussing about homosexuality. And she flat out said, "Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I believe in my heart this is the right way." On Mount Sinai, Terry, the children of Israel built a golden calf because that was what they wanted, but God punished them for it, didn't they?
Exodus 32, that's exactly correct.
What about in the book of Judges? We have also a thought about go. O Jehovah, I know the way of man is not in himself.
That's
it is
right.
Not a man that walketh to direct his steps. And so it is not we who should do it our way or think we have a better way. The only right way is God's way.
Have you, Tom, have you ever read the Humanist Manifesto?
Well, I've read some of it. I've not read the whole thing, but
bits and pieces of it. You don't have to read a whole lot of it to realize this is the result of men walking the way they want to walk, to rationalize they want to live. Whether we're talking about in humanism or we're talking about religion today, what we're seeing is people doing basically what they want to do, just like the Jews did whenever they built the golden calf.
Exactly. You know, when you have that kind of mentality that you do what you want to do and not really have regard for what God wants, well, what I want and what you want could be something totally different.
That's right.
You may want to keep your pickup, but I may want your pickup. You know, so because I want it, can I take it?
Not unless you drop down in a little bit of change, maybe.
Yeah,
so.
You see, that's the idea, though. That's the same kind of philosophy people have. You know, what I want and what you want are different things.
That's right.
And when it comes to religion, when we have that same kind of mentality, we're bound to have disagreements. We're bound to have disunity. We're bound not to have the things that are according to God's law. Well, notice also another thing that we've got to realize with regard to how people have disrespect to the Word of God is a sacred cow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, well, sacred cow, what are you talking about? Well, you know, many show disrespect toward God by heeding more the words of older men than they do the Word of God. Or they may be like, heed the words of their family. Well, you know, it was all right for Grandma. That's the way Grandma always did it, so it has to be right for me. Or, you know, that's the way some, you know, that college president or that preacher said this thing, so it must be right. But many older people, sometimes they're wrong.
They are. They can be just as wrong as younger people.
Exactly. And sometimes they'll just flat out lie to you.
That's right.
I'm minded of the passage in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 11 and following, where there was a prophet that was going to go, and he was told not to eat or drink bread in that nation. And so he was traveling after visiting the king, and there was an old prophet there. And that old prophet knew he was coming, so he went and told him that an angel told him to come and eat with him. But then the text says, but he lied. Here we have a case where this young prophet listened to the old prophet instead of listening to God. And what happened to him?
He died. He was destroyed.
He was eaten.
Yeah.
Or he was killed by a wild beast.
By lying, yeah.
And so we've got to realize, even if he claims to be a prophet, even if he claims to be a preacher, we still have to, well, be like those Bereans, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
In Acts 17 and verse 11, what does it say there? You got it?
I can get it.
In Acts 17 and 11, these noble Bereans were people who really looked carefully at the Word of God. And what I find it interesting there, that they said these things with regard to the teaching of the Apostle Paul.
Exactly right.
So what did they do?
They searched the scriptures daily. If those things were so.
And they did it with an open mind, didn't
they? They would have to.
You know, if they wouldn't take the Apostle Paul's word for it, and they still searched the Scripture to make sure what they were being taught were so, what makes us think that we ought not to be doing the same type of thing today?
And Tom, Paul commended them for it.
Exactly.
He didn't condemn them for searching out those Scriptures to make sure he was, you know, he's applauding their efforts.
You know, I don't know how many times I've had people just really get mad at me, you know, other preachers, if I call into question what they're teaching.
That's right.
And yet when we do that, we're doing the very thing these noble Bereans do, the very ones Paul commended for their making sure. Now, I don't want anybody to take my word for it, and I don't want anybody to take Terry's word for it. I want y'all to check us out using the Scriptures, because if I'm teaching something that's wrong, you will be my best friend if you come and show me from the Scriptures where I'm wrong.
Exactly right.
Well, you know, Terry, there's also another mentality that people have showing disrespect for the Word of God, and that's having the idea, well, everyone else is doing it. I remember that I used to try to use that argument with my dad.
Didn't we all?
You know, I'd say, hey, Dad, why can't I do this? Everybody else is doing it. Well, my dad used to say, well, if everybody else wanted to jump off a cliff, would you want to also?
That's right.
And I'm sure your dad said something
same
similar
thing.
And so we've got to realize it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. And that gets back again to that passage we read a moment ago in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, doesn't it?
It does. This is the narrow way.
Yeah. And the wide way.
Everybody else is doing it.
Oh, everybody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. But that leads to destruction. And, you know, and then in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 2, we have a passage there where Moses says what?
Yeah, follow the multitude into doing evil.
So just because everybody else is doing it,
it sure doesn't make it right.
Doesn't make it right. And then another thing we want to get to before all we have time is the idea of feelings. Many choose to do this or to do that based solely upon their feelings. They have the mentality of saying, well, it just feels right in my heart. But feelings are not a safe guide in religious matters, are they?
No, they are not.
Well, why aren't they?
Well, we got the example of the Apostle Paul.
All right.
For the first part of his life, he operated on religious feelings. He thought he was right. He was persecuting Christians. You know, he was going about throwing men and women who were believers into prison. And in Acts 26:9, he said, I thought myself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I thought to myself. How many times does that thinking to myself get us in trouble when it comes to religious matters?
Exactly. You know, and I'm reminded of the passage in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we've got to realize, you know, our emotions can't, you know, we need to be emotional. You know, emotions aren't bad, but our feelings can never prove that something is right or wrong. You know, we sometimes get caught up in emotions, and emotions sometimes lead us to do things that aren't right.
That's
you know,
right.
If somebody pokes you in the nose, you know, and you get emotional about it, you're liable to do something the Bible says you are not to do, right?
That's right.
And so we've got to realize that we've got to not allow feelings to get in our way. You know, and one final thing is traditions. The way one has always done is not to be our standard in religion, is it?
That's right.
You know, just because your mom and daddy did it, just because they've always done it that way, it doesn't make it right. Now, we've got to realize that God's standard of authority is our only guide in religious matters. And if we're going to do things that are right and pleasing in God's sight, we're going to have to do it God's way and not man's way.
That's right.
It's been a delight to have you in our audience today. And I hope that y'all tune in next week as we discuss more important issues here on the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. You have been listening to the HPR Network.
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622.